Fantastic. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Sherry, again. So we are going to be looking at praising God with our final session today. And if your heart was in what you just saying, then you just did what I'm going to teach on, which is praising God. And it's really the simplest thing in the world. But there are some things we can look at from the scriptures that can help us to do it more in line with what God would desire and deserve. So let's look at Psalm 96 again. We'll go back to our theme verse one last time. Psalm 96:4. Probably have it memorized by now. For the Lord is great, and what? Greatly to be praised. Oh, isn't that fantastic? Again, it's this praising of God is a response to his greatness. And you notice how it says it's not the Lord is great and to be praised, but no, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Right? The praise that someone or something deserves is going to be commensurate, equal to how worthy they are of that praise, that honor, right? Pretty simple. The greater that someone is, the more greatly they're to be praised, the more praiseworthy they are. And certainly with what we've looked at this morning and this afternoon, we've seen that God's praiseworthiness, we've seen his greatness, we've seen his, from the scriptures, how truly great he is. And then our response to that, one of those responses that's appropriate is fearing him, but then now praising him, right? Again, we just did it. If your heart was in it, now you could have very easily just zoned out and just, you've got it memorized. But if your heart was directed towards God and you were thinking about and considering those words and declaring that truth verbally, you just praised God. You just praised God. It's as simple as that. It's like, well, that seems kind of bland, or I don't know. I mean, there's praising God. It's like one of those things that, well, what does it do? Like, what does it accomplish? Well, praising God, there's not a lot other than just it magnifies him. It blesses God's heart. We know that from the scriptures. It's one of those things that it's like do you praise God? Oh, yeah, of course I praise God. I'm a Christian. I praise God. Okay, when was the last time? Well, we sang songs this morning at fellowship. So, okay. Well, that's not necessarily, you didn't necessarily praise God, right? Because it speaks about that in Mark 7, if you want to turn there. Mark 7. And praise, not only just because you sing a song in fellowship doesn't mean that you've praised God. And that's not the only time when it's appropriate and when in which we can praise God. Praising God is more than just singing to him and in a congregation. But in Mark 7, Jesus Christ said something here that I think is so important to remember. Every time that we presume to praise God by, you know, picking up our songbook, for example, and singing along, right? It's easy just to sing along, but we want to choose to do things by faith. We want to choose to do things by believing. Like when we do manifestations of Holy Spirit, we don't want that to become unconscious, right? As soon as it becomes unconscious, it's no longer a manifestation of Holy Spirit. It's just you talking from whatever's in your brain. It's no longer a manifestation. We want to do that by faith. So when we stand up, oftentimes the leader will say, you know, those of you that are trusting God, to believe him. So we consciously choose to engage in this activity, bring forth words from God, speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Praising God's the same way. It's not, if it's genuine praise, it's not unconscious. It's the heart, exactly. And that's what this verse here in Mark makes pretty clear. Mark 7, so important to remember. Mark 7, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah, another word for Isaiah, prophesied of you, what? Hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh, do you see that? Right? It's very easy. It's possible, easy and possible to honor God with our lips, with our mouths, but not have the heart engaged. And when we do that, then it's hypocrisy and it's not truly praise. But it's very simple to praise God, but it does take believing. It takes a choice from the heart to consider God's greatness and then tell him about it, is the simplicity of it. Psalm 150, tell him about it or show it to him, show it back to him. There are other ways of praising God other than just singing. Psalm 150, but it's in its root definition, what praise is just simply telling God or showing God things that he already knows, but that he likes hearing from his creatures. He likes hearing from his children. He likes seeing us acknowledge it in some way. And that's the simplicity of it. But what does it do? What does it accomplish? Well, you can study the scriptures and maybe there are things that you can see and kind of put together. But again, like we were talking about last session, even if that's all that it is, praise is appropriate. Praise is due him. And even if it drains me, even if I'm less off after I'm done, he's due the praise that he has earned because he is God, because he is so great. And in Psalm 150, let's read here. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Psalm 149. Psalm 150. I think we might be going back to that later. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So if you don't know what to praise God for, there's two things. And we learned about them this morning, conveniently enough. Praise him for his mighty acts and praise him according to his excellent greatness. So if you've just wondered, like, oh, I could never write a song, I could never pray the way I hear some folks pray on Sunday mornings, the prayers that are powerful and actually do end up praising God are the ones that, number one, are from the heart, but number two, are according to knowledge. And if you're lacking the words to praise God with, go back to his word. A good place to start. See who he is. Read Isaiah 40. Remember that verse about him measuring out the heavens with the span of his hand. And then tell God that in your next prayer. God, wow, I just learned that your hand is so big that you can measure out the heavens with the span of your hand. But that's not a prayer because I didn't ask for anything. No, that I think we understand, right? It's possible just to praise God in prayer. You don't always have to. If I remember thinking that that's what prayer was when I was pretty young, that it's just, well, that's when you have a need, then you tell God about it, and then he meets that need for you. Oh, prayer is so much more than that. Prayer, there can be prayers of praise that are nothing but praise, and then you get to the end, and you say, amen. But what did you ask for? Nothing. You just praised God, right? You see that in the Psalms. Some of the Psalms, they're just prayers of praise, prayers of praise, right? So it doesn't have to be singing. You can just respond to the word of God. Maybe you learned for the first time this morning. Even respond to his creation, right? Because God says that in Romans 1, just looking at that, all men are accountable to glorify and thank him, right? And so we develop this habit of, I don't even know if it's a habit, but it's, praising God is a proper response. It's a believing response to the things that we learn about him, particularly his greatness and particularly his mighty acts, right? That's what's praiseworthy. Silly example, cooking shows. Anybody watch those cooking shows where they have competitions and, the wannabe chefs come in and submit to the world-famous chefs and how do you like my cooking? And then if it's good, what do? They get praise. They talk about, oh, this is souffle was the most delicious, and I love the way that you put the eggs in at the right time and perfect form, and right? And so what is that? What are they doing? They're praising that person, right? It's so simple. It's so simple. Same with God, right? You think about his attributes. You think about what he's done. You let that touch your heart, Let that touch your heart. And then you don't just robotically speak it, but you allow it to have meaning to you. And then from your heart, you speak, right? It's not in vain do they worship me, but from the heart, right? For it to be true praise, it needs to be from the heart, and it needs to be knowledgeable as well. Look at this in Psalm 47. Psalm 47, verse 7. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with what? Understanding. Oh, sing praises with understanding. This is so important, right? And this is what we open up with. Doctrine precedes practice in all of the Christian life, and especially with praising God, right? If I just say, I'm in the mood to praise God today, and but I don't know him, or I'm not calling to mind the attributes that I know, it's going to be ignorant praise. Ignorant praise is shallow praise at best. If we're talking during the break, is that could ignorant praise even really truly be called praise? Well, if it's true. I mean, if all you know is the God created the heavens and the earth, and you say that, that's true. And so I don't even know if I should call that ignorant praise so much as it's limited, right? If that's all you know about God, then that's all that you have to praise him for. And so even though he's greatly to be praised, and there's all these other things that he's done, all of these other attributes, his great love, his great mercy, his great kindness, specific things that he could do for you that you could praise him for, because you haven't developed that understanding, then your praise is going to be shallow, relatively speaking, right? Ignorant praise has degrees, right? The more that we grow in understanding him and seeing him, comprehending his greatness, then the more language I have to tell back to him. The deeper and more profound can my praise life become, because I know things about him, and then I can respond, right? Valentine's Day is coming up, right? February 14th, that's just not too long away. So I was thinking of getting Claire a card, and I was going to write in that card, one of the handwritten ones, in fact. We're not talking about going to like Hallmark and just picking out one that's already pre-written. I'm going to handwrite a card to my lovely brown-eyed Irish beauty, Claire. I'm so glad that we've been married these 5 years, and I love that chicken soup that you make for me. Signed, Josh. And I gave that to her from the bottom of my heart. What would that mean? Is she here? She's not in here. She's over. I can answer for her. That would mean nothing to her. Why? None of those things are true. None of those things are true. But it's from my heart. I really mean it. I really meant it. I even signed my name. I didn't just buy one of the pre-written cards, right? No, it's ignorant praise is it's hollow. It's not going to ring in our heart. Like, do you even know me? But I signed my name. I really meant it. I think the same would apply to God, right? I mean, we can praise him, you know, if we're not knowledgeable of who he is and truly know him, then the praise that we offer him is going to ring hollow. But the more that we know about him and the more that we honestly experience his greatness, then we're going to have more great stuff to praise him for. Right? And on the converse of that, or the other side to that is, okay, let's say I do know a lot. Like in our fellowship, I'd say, in general, we spend a lot of time teaching God's word. So probably, let's go on a limb and say, than the average Christian church, probably most of us here know more about some of the details of who God is, what he's done in Christ. And that's with intent, because we understand that doctrine comes first. And okay, great, you know stuff. But let's say I go to the Giant Eagle and just grab the first Hallmark card that, you know, on the way home, on the February 14th, I totally forgot about Claire, and then just grabbed the first Hallmark card they had. Oh, that one's good. It's already pre-written for me. Shove it in an envelope and quickly throw it to Claire. And I say, oh, here, got your card. And she opens it up and reads it. And so, who's this from? It's like, oh, I forgot to sign my name. Okay, and those things may even be true. Like, I could even check. Let's make sure all this is true about my relationship with Claire. But would that praise be a blessing to her? No. Why not? Because it's not from the heart. It's not from the heart. Right? And so I think those are really the two, if you want to break it down, those are the two aspects. So, you know, how is this truly praise or not? Number one, is it from the heart? And number two, is it actually true? Is it based on truth? But combine those two things, that's praise that God's blessed with. That's praise that the scriptures describe. Right? And it's not just singing. There's other modes of praise, if you want to think of it that way. You know, you can praise God silently, even in prayer, right? You can pray silently, so you could praise God silently in your heart, and he hears out loud in prayer, alone. Praise God in a congregation like this, in prayer. Some of the Psalms testify to that. Singing is a big thing. It comes up in the Psalms. We do that as a group, with or without instruments. Those things are really not the point. Even emotion isn't necessarily, is not necessary. Emotion, some of us are more emotive than others, right? And if God were to require us to be emotional when we praise him, then he would be a respecter of persons, because not all of us are built that way. Just physically speaking. But the one thing that we can do is be joyful when we praise him, right? Psalm 100, make a noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise, right? Joy, that God can command us to have joy. He can tell us that when we praise God to have joy, right? why? Because by faith, I can have joy. Even if I'm not an emotive person, like some of the folks in our fellowship that are good criers when they need to praise God. And, you know, that's wonderful, you know, if it's from the heart. But don't feel like because I'm not, like, I don't have that disposition, that personality, that, well, they're better praisers of God than I am. No. If you're a believer in God, that's the praise that God sees and he blesses and that he likes, right? Praise with joy. Sure, of course, joy, right? We enter into his presence with singing, with joy. That is always going to result in just tears. Well, God, I'm so thankful to be in your... No, maybe. I wouldn't rule that out. There's no other joyful place to be. So if you can't cry with tears of joy there, you know, where else are you going to? But boy, don't limit yourself and think because other people are more emotive, or more emotional by nature, that they are somehow, you have an inside track into this topic, into this approach of praising God. And because it's by faith. Can you do it? Can you do it with joy? Can you have the joy of God when you come before his presence? Can you think about and believe what you're saying when you tell him? Do it from the heart. That's the simplicity of it. And it's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. Psalm 106, please. It's really not too much more that I wanted to look at with you on this. One of the things that we did at our teen week, and if you're looking for kind of a technique, I've just never done that before. All I've done is just sang songs to God, and that's fine. One of the things we did at our teen week a couple years ago was we broke into what we called praise partners. We're saying, okay, me and Matt are going to sit down, and each of us are going to pray, but we're not allowed to ask for anything. So it was obviously artificial constraint. We were putting on ourselves, not a religion, not a law, but just a conscious choice. It was like, wow, I just want to, if you've never done it, I think probably maybe some of you praise God all the time and when you pray, and that's fine. But for me, it really helped me because I was so used to maybe saying, God, I'm so thankful that I have the right to pray to you, but invariably I realized my prayers trailed into, okay, what am I going to ask for? You know, even if it was something great and spiritual, like help me to receive God's word at this upcoming meeting, or help me to to love you bigger. And but invariably, my prayers would always end up me. Right? How am I going to help me, God? Help me, God? Help me, God? It was some request, some petition, and we forced ourselves artificially at first, just to sit down with each other, and we were holding each other accountable. And I think I was with Dustin, and I started to kind of wander into just starting to ask for that. Nope, bring back to prayer, and just we just praised him for a few minutes or however long. I think we had, you know, different people went different mountain length, but something to try. If you've never thought about doing that again, because part of it might just be that we're so production oriented. It's like, well, what's this going to do? What's it going to accomplish? I know if I pray for this, God will hear and God will answer. That's wonderful. I'm not trying to downplay that, but if I just sat down and praised God for 30 minutes, what would happen when I'm done with that? I don't know. Maybe you'd be more drained, but God would have seen it. You would have been obeying the scriptures. You would have been responding to his greatness. Praise is appropriate for God. He deserves it. Those angels that are in his presence, when Isaiah got that vision of those angels, in Isaiah, it talks about the seraphim, that the wings were covering their eyes, and they're flying around. And even with that shielded view, all they could say was, holy, 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 Lord God, right? And we can enter into his presence with joy, with thanksgiving, with praise. There's no indication that they got bored with that, right? You might say, well, that just sounds boring again. But, oh, man, if it still sounds boring to you, I just implore you to consider what we taught again this morning. And there's nothing boring about God. There's nothing boring about having a relationship with him and being able to be drawn near to him. Look at Psalm 27, please. Did I say to go to 106? Is that the mumbling? Okay, let's do 106. Thanks. This one, this teaching hasn't been as by the book. Thank you for your patience. Blessing. It's been an honor to be able to present this material to you all. Psalm 106, verse 2. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Anybody want to volunteer? I'll do it. No. Again, another rhetorical question. We're not going to be able to exhaust the praise of God. Nobody can utter adequately the mighty acts of the Lord. Nobody can show forth all his praise. Why? His greatness ultimately is unsearchable, right? We can begin searching it out. We started to today. We can spend a lifetime searching it out. Trying to search it out. It's unfathomable, his greatness. We cannot plumb the full depths of his great love. We cannot scale the great heights of his righteousness. We cannot peruse the great lengths of his long-suffering. They're all out of reach, ultimately. So the full praise that he deserves is going to be out of his reach. But the praise that we can give, he's blessed with. And he's satisfied with it. He loves hearing us praise him. And NET captures the sense of this. Who can adequately recount the Lord's mighty acts or relate all his praiseworthy deeds? No one, but we can begin with all the heart and love for God that we can muster. And then I said 27, was it? Psalm 27. Since I said it, we have to go to it, right? All right. Psalm 27, we're just a few more minutes here. Look at this heart of David here. I want to have this heart more and more. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, I love that phrase there, that just one thing I want, what? Just to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. There's nothing boring about that. If that sounds boring, then you just haven't been gripped yet by his greatness or have forgotten or let it slip. Let his greatness grip you. Let his greatness inspire you to respond appropriately with praise and have this heart of David that I want to get closer to you, God, to see how beautiful you are so that my praise to you can be even more beautiful. And go to Psalm 147, please. Just a few more verses here. Psalm 147. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Why? For it's good to sing praises unto our God. Okay, there it is. It's good for me. Well, actually, no, I just read for me into that, right? It's good to sing praise unto our God. Why? It's pleasant and praise is comely. The NIV here. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. It's fitting. It's appropriate. It's comely, right? What does it do for me? Well, it may do some things, but in the first instance, for it to truly be praise, it can't be about me. As by definition, as soon as it becomes about me, then it's lost its luster, right? Like if I, let's say, back to the Hallmark card example, let's say I filled out the best, the truest, the deepest lyrics that I could write about Claire and spent hours poring over this. But then I give it to her and say, oh, this is a really nice card. I say, yeah. Yeah. And then I also submitted it online because there's a contest for the best husband card gets a free trip to the Super Bowl, a trip for one next year to the Super Bowl. And so I filled this out and look what it's going to do. And then, okay, so at that point, it just ceased having any true meaning to her, right? Silly example, but the point is, right, if I'm praising God, I'm thinking, all right, this is really going to help me do such and such, or is it going to get me excited about? It's like, no, it's supposed to be about him. It's really as simple as that. It's just, God, you're great. I'm me. Thank you. You know, whatever words you want to add to that are in your soul, you tell it back to him, whether it's prayer, whether it's singing. You know, skill is not needed in singing. I'm glad we have skillful folks in the fellowship that can, like, I'm really glad I can call Sherry last night and say, hey, can you play this piano tomorrow for us? And she doesn't take her weeks to learn it. We've got folks with skill, but that's a particular function and a particular added thing to the body of Christ, those that can play instruments and stuff. You don't need instruments and you don't need skill to be able to praise God. You just need a heart that loves him, a heart that is willing to believe and to behold his beauty, and then just simply go back to him and say, Father, thank you. And I'd like to close in Psalm 40. This was a shorter session, I believe. That's okay. Psalm 40. It's really the simplest thing in the world, but there are, you know, just a few things to keep in mind when you're doing it. Don't do it heartlessly. Don't do it thoughtlessly. And there's one other aspect that I wanted to get into with you. And that's, you know, you can read in the Psalms about, you know, David's words of praise. And that's wonderful. Every day it seemed like every Psalm is like a totally new experience of the greatness of God that he had. And he has every left and right, there are new songs that David is singing. And, you know, I can use those words, that holy scripture to help, you know, put those things into my heart, take David's words that are inspired by God and then say those back to God in praise. But also, Psalm 40 says, Psalm 40, 1 to 3, we'll read this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. These are the words of David. Okay, so David was brought up out of a horrible pit, and he's praising God for that. You know, have you been brought up out of a horrible pit? If you're a Christian, you have. Do you know the depths of that pit? Do I know the depths of that pit? Am I remembering the depths of that pit? If so, I can praise God for the great redemption that he's provided me in Christ from my heart. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. So even though those are David's words, he's talking about a particular incident in his life where he was always on the run, where God brought him some real deliverance. And it was a quantifiable definable event in his life where he got to say, God did this for me, and I'm going to praise him for that. I'm going to thank him for that. And I love this in verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. A new song. If you ever look in the Psalms, it comes up quite a bit, that phrase, a new song, a new song. Oh, that, I think that communicates just something so powerful about this God. This great God that we've been learning about is he wasn't just the God of creation. He wasn't just the God of the Israelites when he delivered them out of Egypt with that great hand. And then they sang that great song in Exodus 15 about the horse and the rider. He's thrown into the sea. And, you know, he's not just the God that cared for his people. He's not just the God that acted once in history. And we can read about those things. But what? He's the God. He's a God today. You know, if he was ever to be feared at all, he's to be feared right now. If he is ever to be praised at all, he is to be praised right now. Why? He hasn't changed. And he's still just as willing to actively work in your life, work in my life, show his greatness in new and fresh ways so that it's not just old songs that I'm singing, right? But new songs, right? We're getting ready to leave. We're going to go home, and all this material, this information that we have looked at today, it's up to us now what we're going to do with it. Are we going to remember? Are we going to let these things permeate our life and heart? Are we going to let them change us the way that God wants them to? That's up to us, right? And what's so exciting about it is because our great God is still great today, then it's not just stuff in the past that I can look forward to remembering and praising him for, but stuff that's going to happen this week, stuff that's going to happen next week, stuff that's going to happen this year. New stuff. Deliverance that you don't have now that you're going to get because your God is great. And God can put into your heart a new song so that every day, every week, what's God been doing for you, Tim? Oh, let me tell you. Why? Because God is still that great God. He is still great. And so it's not just praising him for the things he's already done. Remember those things by all means. Remember those things. Memorialize those things. That's another thing we can do is memorialize in our minds and hearts and not forget his past deliverances, but continue to look to him as a God that's still the God that's way out there, but that's dwelling with me in this very moment that wants to deliver me again and again and again because he's that great and that good. And then take that expectation of deliverance, see that deliverance, allow that great God to put a new song in your heart. Right, so every time a coffee house rolls around, every one of us is up there. So let me tell you about this new song that I wrote. It doesn't have to be a song. It could just be a whatever, you know, just a testimony. I don't know. The point is, you know, here it's called a song, but I think you get my point, that experiencing the greatness of God, having new things to praise him for and to talk about for him, should be the norm. Should be the norm for us as Christians. God has not died. God has not faded away. If those men in the future ought to tremble in his presence, then we right now ought to tremble in his presence because he doesn't change. And the two appropriate responses, the ones that we looked at today, very simple, fearing God and praising God. And as we continue to do those things, then we'll be those believers that can praise him with knowledge, can praise him from the heart, and we'll see what this will cascade into, right? Like we looked at in the beginning, I was so blessed at after the team weekend that we did. There were like so many things that people shared, connections that nobody made during the teaching sessions, but like, because this is true about God's greatness, that means this in my life. And I leave that to the Spirit of God in you and your relationship with your Heavenly Father to consider how holding him in his mind, holding him in your mind as the great God that he is, the great God that he is in his universe, the ramifications that could have on your praise for him, your fear of him, and all the other things of God that we have the joy of experiencing together. So thank you all so much for being here. I trust that it was worth your time, and I think we should have some prayer. David Hoffman, would you like to stand and pray, close us out?
Well, gracious Heavenly Father, when we behold you, we are very, very blessed. And we see your goodness and your grace. We give thanks. We praise your name with all of our heart. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.